Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall save his people from their sins. Now all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. My subject tonight is God's salvation for his people. God's salvation for his people. My text verse is 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. We will notice some aspects of our salvation. The origin of it, the source of it, and the consummation of it. What is salvation? That's the question that's asked. What is salvation? Well, listen to verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now that's what salvation is. It is defined for us here in verse 1. I thought about, and this verse, of course, I had it already in my notes, and I thought about, and this was brought out by Brother Jones in the 19th chapter of the book of Luke, if you'll turn there and notice with me in verse 10. There are two words that I have underlined in this verse 10. And notice what this verse 10 says. For the Son of Man, that's Jesus Christ, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. I underlined the word seek and I underlined the word save. You ain't going to be saved unless there's some seeking. And if there's some seeking, you're going to be saved.
That's right. Amen.
You can't have one without the other.
Amen.
But you got to realize who does the seeking and who does the saving.
Amen.
It's one and the same.
Amen.
The same one that seeks is the same one that saves, and the same one that saves is the same one that seeks.
Amen.
And it never changes. I don't care how we try to make it change. It never changes. You know why I know that? Y'all know it too. The Bible says so. Look in Romans chapter 3 with me. And notice there in Romans chapter 3. And this ought to clear the issue once and for all. It says in Romans 3:11. It says this. There is none that understandeth. But then that ain't all it says. Then it says, there is none that seeketh after God.
Amen.
You know what that means? Nobody seeks after God.
Right.
Ain't a one. You didn't. I didn't. Zacchaeus didn't. The man of the Gadarenes didn't. But God sought thee. There's only one seeker and there's only one Savior. And the same one it saves is the same one it seeks. And the Word of God is very clear and very plain on this. And we need to get this into our hearts and our minds. And we need to recognize that salvation, that God's salvation for His people is in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the one that does the seeking. And Jesus Christ is the one that does the saving. Amen. And ain't nobody else. God didn't design it to be any other way. Aren't you glad? Amen. Aren't you glad? And I think back, and you know, I think back, I thought, I've had so many wonderful thoughts during this conference, and you know, it just brings me to praise God. I thought about when Brother Richardson was preaching this afternoon, and you know, what he preached on, and how strong he preached it, and I thought 25 years ago, I call him old Brother Rich. Old Brother Rich walked up to me. He ain't so old, but old Brother Rich walked up to me and said, you know, Brother Harvey, said, I see election in Ephesians 2:8-9. That's when he was just coming to the truths of the grace of God 25 years ago. And he walked up to me and said, you know, and he was pastoring at Allegree, Kentucky. And he walked up to me and, you know, he was really getting it socked to him. Church truth, doctrines of grace, and all of the things that we believe. And he came to me and said, well, brother, you know what I see? You know what I found? He said, I found election in Ephesians 2:8-9. I thought, hallelujah! Yeah, hallelujah! Yeah, you'll find it in Ephesians 2:8-9. You'll find it in the book of Genesis. And you'll find it all the way through the Word of God. I knew he'd finally get over Romans 8. And he did there today. But this is what I believe, that we need to understand in God's salvation for His people, and His salvation for His people is in nobody and through nobody but the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is no salvation apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. It involves believing. It involves believing. When Paul wrote the first letter to the Corinthians, and he said in 1 Corinthians, and he said in chapter 1, and there in verse 21 of that first chapter, he said, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. But it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to do what? To save them that believe. And I realize and I know that believing is a gift, is an ability that God gives to a person, enables them to believe and to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Amen. Don't you reminisce and go back how God worked in your life. You know, they've taken us today back to the time. They want us to, you know, right back to the place. They want us to say, now it was right here on this cucumber vine. You know, and I tell you what, and ain't nothing wrong with that. I thought about it. I've got a man that runs a greenhouse, and I've been seeing if he couldn't raise us all some juniper trees. But anyway, you know, he said, you go right back here to this time, and I believe that to this very place. And he said, well, it was this very time. Brother, I tell you, there's so much going on. I didn't hardly know what time it was. You know, when God was dealing with me and bringing me to repentance and faith and receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. So salvation is Jesus seeking and Jesus saving. It involves believing that He enables us to do, and then He saves us from the wrath to come.
Yeah. Amen.
In Romans chapter 5, yeah. And there in verse 9 of the 5th chapter, he says this. He says, much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. And so what we come to the conclusion of, it is the work and it is the gift of God. But now, who's this salvation for? Yeah, look at our text verse. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people. His people are from their sins. And Jesus made this very clear himself when he said in John 6:37, he said, all that the Father giveth me What do you say about them?
Shall
come to me. And then what do you say? You know, and he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. But what did he say over in the 17th chapter of the book of John? And there in the second verse of that 17th chapter said, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. So, I think I know who his people are, don't you? And I'm thankful, and I rejoice to be among that number. Now let's notice three things, unless I make this a series. Let's notice three things about God's salvation for his people. And the first thing that I want us to notice about God's salvation for his people, it is according to his plan. It ain't according to your plan. It ain't according to my plan. It's according to his plan.
Amen.
And I rejoice in that. You know, God's plan, man does not and cannot plan his salvation. You can't even decide where you're going to be saved, and you can't even decide when you're going to be saved. And nobody can direct you to the place or direct you to the time. It has to be God that does. You know, I thought about that fellow Zacchaeus. Now Zacchaeus, of course, we say is, I don't know this thing anyway. Zacchaeus said it was a wee little man. Now, evidently he must have been pretty short. Because if you'll notice, most Jews in general are not very tall. And if he couldn't see over them fellers, you know, less than 5 foot, most of them less than 5 foot, he had pretty short. And so what he decided to do, now he wasn't seeking Jesus. What he wanted to do, he sought to see Jesus. Now you see, read that verse said, he sought to see Jesus. He had heard about him, wanted to know what all was going on. And so he climbed up in a sycamore tree. Best thing he could do. To look over the crowd. And as Jesus came that way, Jesus just walking along, you know, and he just turned and said, and he looked up.
Wonder why.
Yeah, wonder why. I mean, you know, I know why. He came to seek and save. Oh, he came to seek and save that which was lost. He comes to seek and he comes to save. And you know what he said? Zacchaeus, hey, he knows me. I feel good. He knows my name. How'd he do that? He wrote it down. He'd written it down a long time ago. He wasn't any problem with him as to what his name was. And he said, Zacchaeus, he said, you come down. You know what he did? He came down. Exactly what he came down. Now you read the rest of those verses and what he says there. And I mean, just preaching, it's blessing my heart. I was going along through there, you know, and digging on this and looking at it and seeing all of this. And I thought about it. And that's the same way he did with me. And that's the same way he did with you.
Amen,
brother, I wasn't end up in no sycamore tree. Man told me one time, he said, Brother Harvey, and he was coming to church, and you know, and I was telling him about, well, the Lord can save you anywhere, you know, and he thought you had to come down an aisle or be at church or somewhere. And lo and behold, he worked for a TVA, and he was up a light pole. And the Lord saved him. Up a light pole, way off the ground, saved him by his marvelous grace. And I rejoiced in that, and I thought about that. And it's the same thing with you, and it's the same thing with me. When he came along, here we were, here all of us were, we were all in the same boat. We were by nature, and I want you to understand it was just by nature. We were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We were not the objects of God's wrath, but we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Because God had already designed something else for me and for you. God had already designed an eternity to write our names down and then to save us in time. And there would be no wrath that would come upon us. God already had this all outlined and designed. But by nature, we were children of wrath, even as others. We was all in the same boat. We were all, as far as we was concerned, depraved and on the way to a devil's hell. But then Jesus came along that time, and how that he called our name, and how that he sought us out and brought us to him. Now, man's plan does not and cannot plan salvation. Now, what is God's plan for his people? Well, it's right there in Ephesians chapter 1. Look with me there in Ephesians chapter 1, and you'll see this glorious truth that we believe and preach and rejoice in. Ephesians chapter 1, and there in verse 4, and how that it brings this great truth to our attention. And listen to the Apostle Paul, what he has to say here. He says, according as he that is God. Now he says, I got to looking sometimes at that word according. I get hung up on these words, and according. You look how many times that word according is used. I underline the word according, but I underline almost every word. But you look and it said, according as God, or he hath chosen us in him, that is Christ Jesus, before the foundation of the world. And that's a wonderful thing. But that ain't all of our salvation. Look at the rest of that part of that verse. And the rest of the part of that verse is just as much a part of our salvation as the choosing part is.
Yes, sir,
for look, he chose us unto salvation. Now you'll see here, but he says that we should. And I believe this. I believe what he ordains he does.
Amen.
And I believe that when he saves us to serve. And I believe when he saves us to serve, we do serve. Some serve to a greater degree than others according to the gift of grace that God gives to them. And we must understand that. He said that we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
Amen.
Now I believe that this was God's plan. This is the way that God started it. But that wasn't all. But look what else he did in verse 5. Then having the same ones having predestinated us under the adoption of children by who now? Why, thou shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall save his people from their sin. By Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So he not only chose us in Christ, but he predestinated us of the adoption of children. And his plan for us is complete there in Romans 8:28-30.
Amen.
God's plan for our salvation is all the way from foreknowledge to glorification. That is his plan for us. And he carries out that plan. He carries it out to everyone that he chose. And that plan is carried out in full detail. And so the wonderful thing about God's plan is a complete success.
Amen.
He is not a failure. He don't fail on one. His plan is a complete success. From foreknowledge to glorification, everyone that he included in that plan is going to receive exactly what he planned for them.
Amen.
A complete success.
Amen.
But now, let's look at this flimsy plan. Man comes up with a little plan. Started way back in Genesis. Fig leaves. Now that's what it started with. Self-righteousness. Filthy rags, really. So man come up with his little plan. So now he comes along. And today, there's a lot of churches don't like God's plan. Matter of fact, they won't even preach it. They will not teach it, and they will not preach it. They say, well, nobody can be saved according to God's plan. That's what they say. But, man's plan, man comes along and said, now what you got to do now, folks, you got to decide to make a decision about Christ. Now, that's what they'll tell you. Well, now you're going to make a decision about Christ. And the decision that you make about Christ is going to be determined upon whether or not God ever deals with you. Whether or not that God ever works with you. Whether or not God ever comes to you the way that he does to his people to save them by his grace. Those are the ones that are going to make the right decision. And the ones he never come to, they ain't going to make no decision at all.
That's right. Amen.
They don't have to do anything. So man's little flimsy plan is make a decision about Christ. And then, as our brother said, he claims then, they make this little decision and they say, now I'm a child of God. I've been saved for the grace of God. Hey, say, I've been saved. Oh, yes. Do you really know? You say, oh, yes, if anybody knows they're saved, I'm really saved. But like he said today, they don't serve the Lord. They don't want to serve the Lord. They always try to figure out how they can get out of serving the Lord. They always want to figure what they can do against the Lord, against the church, against the man of God. And yet they go to him and say, oh, I know I'm saved, though. But you know what's the matter? It's not God's plan. It's some plan that man has devised, and his plan is a complete failure. It always is a complete failure. It may look good to the religious world. It may look good in the eyes of people, but I'll tell you, not so with man's plan. It's a complete failure, but God's plan is always a success. From the very beginning, even down to the very end. But now, God's salvation is not only according to a plan, but number two, God's salvation is according to His power. Amen. Now, it's His plan, but it's also according to His power. The Word of God says this, in the fullness of time, He sent His Son, conceived in the womb of a virgin by the Holy Spirit. We read that here in the first chapter here of Matthew 1. And even He came into the world, the world hated Him. Even Herod, murderous Herod, wanted to kill Him. Wanted to destroy Him when He was a baby. He grew from a babe to manhood and escaped those that would crucify Him before His time. But listen to what the Gospel of John says in chapter 7 and there in verse 30. Listen to what it says. It says this. Then they sought to take Him. This is Jesus. But no man laid hands on Him because His hour was not yet come. In the 8th chapter of John in verse 20, it said, these words spake Jesus in the treasury as He taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on Him, for His hour was not come. How come? The power of God. The great power of God. But then He came down to the time to die at Calvary. And when the time came, what did He do? He laid down His life. And brethren, here's power. John chapter 10 over there. Turn on over to John chapter 10. And you'll see in verse 17 and 18. And listen to what He says here. Jesus Himself is saying, He said, Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life. Amen. You can't do that. You don't have the power. You don't have the power to do that. Oh, you say, well, now, something's seriously wrong with what you're saying. Well, it's not either. I'm not telling you to try, be foolish enough to try it. That'd be tempting God, is what it would be. But said, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life. And He said, that I might take it again. But what's the next verse say? No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down on myself. He said, I have power to lay it down. And not only do I have power to lay it down, but I have power to take it again. Yeah. This commandment have I received of my Father. The same power that is manifested here with Jesus laying His life down at Calvary and then being buried and coming forth from the grave is the same power of God. Amen. That is manifested in salvation of His people that are dead in trespasses and sin. There is a resurrection, but it's a spiritual resurrection. Amen. When the time came, He laid it down. Nobody took it from Him. Because it wasn't possible. He's the God-man. He's the Son of God. He's the sacrifice. He's the perfect sacrifice. He's God Himself. It's what He is. And so when the time came, He not only laid down His life, but when the time came, He arose. And He came forth from the grave. And the grave could not hold Him. The grave could not contain Him. The grave, even though it was sealed and guarded, they could not hold Him there. Amen. Because there was the power of Almighty God. Amen. Now this is the gospel of our salvation. Amen. In Romans 1:16, what does it say? Amen. It says this. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. For what? For it is... The what?
The dynamite of God.
It is the dynamite of God, or it is the power of God unto what?
Salvation.
Unto salvation. Who to?
To
everyone that believes.
Amen.
To the Jew first, and also to the Greek.
Yes.
Why? It couldn't be any other way. And the reason it couldn't be any other way, she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sin. And he saves his people from his sin through the dynamite, the same power of the gospel.
Amen.
The preaching of the gospel of the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. What did Paul say when he wrote to the Thessalonians? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And therein, verse 5, I can relate to this, and I know that you that are saved by the grace of God can also relate to this. And here's what he said. Now, he said a wonderful thing in verse 4. You know, he said, knowing, brethren, beloved, our election of God. But then in verse 5, he said, for our gospel came not for unto you. How? In word only. Now, it must come in word. I kept thinking about, how shall they believe in whom they have not heard?
Amen.
See, it all goes right together. You can't believe in somebody you've not heard of. And everybody that believes has heard, has to hear. How shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they believe without a preacher? Unless someone is sent with the gospel. And said, for our gospel came not to you in the word only, but look how it came. But it came also in power. Do you remember when the gospel came to you in power?
Sir.
I recall it, don't you?
Amen.
I'll tell you, I recall the glorious time it said, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. And look, it says, and in much assurance.
Yeah, I like that.
As you know what manner of men we were among you for our sake. But Paul went right on in the 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and there in verse 13 and 14 he said this, but we are bound to give thanks to who? All the way to who? To God. Why should we give thanks to God? Well, look, for you, and he says, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning, that's what that Ephesians 1:4, hath from the beginning chosen you to what? To salvation. For she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sin. And he said, and notice how, through sanctification of the Spirit. And that ain't all. And belief of the truth. But where do we find that? And he says in verse 14, whereunto he called you by our gospel. By the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So every aspect of our salvation is by his power. So God's salvation for his people is not only according to his plan, but it is also according to his power. Going over to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. I like Brother Jones. Yeah, I like these preachers preach along with me. You know, I like that. And so, and here's what he said. He said, and of course, we know who he's talking about. And that's already been brought out in it. And it's a wonderful thing. And you know, not a one of us are ashamed or bashful of this. Who it is in verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God. And he says, through sanctification of the Spirit. There's it again. And what? Unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace be to you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To what? To an inheritance. Incorruptible, he says here, and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. How are you going to get there? How are you going to make it? By the same power.
Amen.
The same power that came when the gospel was preached unto you in power.
Amen.
The efficacious grace, the effectual working of the Holy Spirit, making the gospel powerful unto you, that it became the dynamite of God to unto you to believe and receive the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But how you want to make it? Who are kept? How? By the power of God, but yeah, through what? Through faith. And you know who that faith, you know that faith is, it is my faith in a sense, only that it has been given to me.
Yeah.
Anywhere you study the New Testament, it's the faith of Jesus Christ.
Amen,
that's given to you.
Yes.
You don't have saving faith.
Right.
You don't have the kind of faith that can keep you. Why, it's the faith of Jesus Christ that is given to you. It says through faith, and what's that unto? Unto salvation. Same thing, everything is said, ready to be revealed at the last time. So we see that God's salvation for His people is not only according to a plan, but it is also according to His power. But thirdly, it is also according to His purpose. Now that's also given to us there in Ephesians chapter 1. And listen to what it says there. And this is the purpose that for all that God has done, creation, salvation of His people, or whatever that you can imagine or you can think of, all that God has done, He has done it for this purpose, and it is in verse 6. Now, it's according to the good pleasure of His will. Somebody said, well, I can't understand why in the world the Lord saved me. And I keep saying this through the years, and I'll keep on saying, I can. I do. It pleased Him. Simply pleased Him. Nothing in you, nothing in me deserve anything as far as meriting salvation, but it just pleased God. It pleased God, first of all, to choose us. It pleased God to set His love, His everlasting love upon us. And it pleased God in time to draw us with loving kindness.
Amen.
And to bring us to Him.
Amen.
But now look, here's the purpose. To the praise of the glory of His grace.
Amen.
No wonder we sing, oh, to grace, how great a debtor.
Yes.
Now look, daily I'm constrained to be.
Amen.
Let my goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to Thee.
Amen.
And oh, we go on and we go on. And so He says, to the praise of the glory of His grace. Now notice, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. You go on up to verse 12. That we should, He worked all things, dealing with our salvation and in our life, according to the counsel of His own will, and in verse 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory. Notice, who first trusted in Christ. So, He worketh all things, and He brings salvation to the people that God has given Him. And He does it all so that it will be to the praise of the glory of His grace. But He also did it to have a people to populate the new heaven and the new earth. In other words, I believe it's like He wrote, like Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 10. I mean chapter 2 of Hebrews, and there in verse 10. And notice what it says. For it became Him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of our salvation perfect through sufferings. So I realize and I know, this is God's salvation for His people. It's according, His plan is for us. It ain't against us. His plan is for us. His power is upon us, and His power is in us. And His purpose is for our good and for His glory. And that is God's salvation for His people.